His sisters, Joan and Janet, were identicals. They had each other, and their mother had a little bit of her gone man in them. Curtis's blue, slightly up-tilted eyes, his blonde hair, his full lips. The nickname in Kurt's yearbook under his name had been Elvis. Michelle had her man and her son as well, where the resemblance was even more striking. Add a few crow's feet around the eyes, and Ned could have been his own father when Curtis first came on the cops. That's what they had. What Ned had was us. One day in April, he came into the barracks with a great big sunny smile on his face. It made him look younger and sweeter, but I remember thinking we all of us look younger and sweeter when we smile our real smiles, the ones that come when we are genuinely happy and not just trying to play some dumb social game. It struck me fresh that day because Ned didn't smile much, certainly not big. I don't think I realized it until that day because he was polite and responsive and quick-witted, a pleasure to have around, in other words. You didn't notice how grave he was until that rare day when you saw him brighten up and shine. He came to the center of the room, and all the little conversation stopped. He had a paper in his hand. There was a complicated-looking gold seal at the top. "Pitt," he said, holding the paper up in both hands like an Olympic judge's scorecard. "I got into Pitt, you guys, and they gave me a scholarship, almost a full boat." Everyone applauded. Shirley kissed him smack on the mouth, and the kid blushed all the way down to his collar. Huddy Royer, who was off duty that day and just hanging around, stewing about some case in which he had to testify, went out and came back with a bag of Little Debbie cakes. Arky used his key to open the soda machine, and we had a party. Half an hour or so, no more, but it was good while it lasted. Everyone shook Ned's hand. The acceptance letter from Pitt made its way around the room, twice, I think, and a couple of cops who'd been at home dropped by just to talk to him, pass along their congrats. Then, of course, the real world got back into the act. It's quiet over here in western Pennsylvania, but not dead. There was a farmhouse fire in Pogus City, which is a city about as much as on the Archduke Ferdinand, and an overturned Amish buggy on Highway 20. The Amish keep to themselves, but they'll gladly take a little outside help in a case like that. The horse was okay, which was the big thing. The worst buggy fuck-ups happen on Friday and Saturday nights when the younger bucks in black have a tendency to get drunk out behind the barn. Sometimes they get a worldly person to buy them a bottle or a case of Iron City beer, and sometimes they drink their own stuff. It's a really murderous cornshine that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. It's just part of the scene. It's our world, and mostly we like it, including the Amish with their big, neat farms and the orange triangles on the backs of their small, neat buggies. And there's always paperwork. Usual stacks of duplicate and triplicate in my office. It gets worse every year. Why I ever wanted to be the guy in charge is beyond me now. I took the test that qualified me for sergeant commanding when Tony Shane Dinks suggested it, so I must have had a reason back then, but these days it seems to elude me.